Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
I'm convinced that we're going to have the reveal in this film that Han Solo's original name was Untitled. and this is the name of the film, but we just haven't got the double meaning.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Hello and welcome to Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. Thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, Dan Z, enjoying a delicious cup of coffee in my Coffee with Kenobi orange coffee mug. That wonderful logo that Corey designed still puts a big smile on my face, as does enjoying conversation with each and every one of you. I want to thank all the new members of our CWK family for joining us, as well as welcome back each one of you who join me for a cup of coffee each and every week. On today's show, we're going to have plenty of Star Wars discussion and analysis, including an update on Star Wars video games with Nick Deco. CWK newsman Tom Gross will bring us the latest in Star Wars news. And in the coffee chat, we're going to play the game Finish the Sentence. Just struck me that this could be a really entertaining way to promote conversation, and I hope that you will play along as you're listening with us. I recently finished Inferno Squad, and it's a fantastic book. There will be a much more formal review coming up on the Coffee with Kenobi website very soon. Lisa Dullard, our media specialist, already has her review up, and Randy Theriault has his review of the audiobook up, which, of course, the book is read by Janina Gavankar, and it's going to be great to see what people think about this book and what kind of impact it has on the Star Wars universe. Much more to come on that very, very soon. Joining us today for a cup of coffee is the brand director of Jedi News and the host of the Star Wars Collector's Cast and the co-host of Radio 1138, James Burns.
Good morning, everyone, or good evening.
Yes, well, thank you, James, for having a cup of coffee with us. I believe this is the second or third time you've been on the show, and it's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's extra strong tonight.
Absolutely. Well, I hope so. I had the very good fortune of touring Lucasfilm last time with James and Mark Newbold, and then we, of course, were at Rancho for the gala. But anytime, James, you're involved with Star Wars, it's always more special for me.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Also joining us on Coffee with Kenobi for his very first appearance, I believe your first podcast appearance, am I right?
That's correct.
That's what I thought. Well, it is Ryan Kidd is with us. He's a technical analyst for the Walt Disney Company and a lover of all things Star Wars. Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi.
Thank you so much. I've got a nice cup of coffee here to keep me awake, and good evening and good morning to everybody.
Before we jump into the Entertainment Weekly covers and the article, because that is certainly the news of the moment, I'm sure you both noticed, in fact, I know you both noticed, that there is a new Star Wars shop opening at Disney Springs. And it looks like it's the old Pin Trader one that's outside of Once Upon a Toy, and they've just basically made it all Star Wars.
Yeah.
I haven't had the chance to make it over to Disney Springs yet to see what they've got going on over there, but I'm hoping to make it there this weekend.
Yeah, I think, James, do you know much about it?
I know a little bit about it, but I'm slightly disappointed that they've got rid of the Pin Trader Hut, because that was an awesome resource for catching up on all the pins, especially the Star Wars pins that I was missing. So where's that gone?
That I'm not sure. Because I was thinking they'd taken over actually the old Winnie the Pooh area behind the Pin Trader Hut.
Right. Yep. That's what I thought.
But I haven't been down there to see, so maybe they're moving it in there. I'm not sure.
Either way, because that was a great shop, as you said, James. It has all the pins. It had more pins there than I think just about anywhere. And it was slowly becoming more and more of a Star Wars gift shop anyway. So anytime there's extra Star Wars at Disney World or anywhere, we're happy for that. And speaking of happy, the news came out at the day of this recording of the Entertainment Weekly article and images for The Last Jedi. There are a number of covers that will be coming out. And they look, of course, stunning. We've seen some images of some new characters, some new troopers, a lot of beautiful things. James, what stands out for you?
I think they all, there's some great images. We're getting to see Canto Bight for the first time, which I think people are very excited about. There's been a lot of conjecture about Canto Bight, probably more so than most of the other new places that we're going to be visiting in The Last Jedi. So to actually get a close look up of that and to see how that's going to look is great news. Got some great shots of Rey and of Luke, which obviously ask more questions than they give away in the pictures. And yeah, it's going to be great to pick up these covers. I think they're available. Is it next week, these covers?
That is correct. Yes. This is another example of why I subscribe to this magazine. This is the main reason why I subscribe, because whenever they do the Star Wars, it's really, really hard to find the covers. And James, if you can't find any, I'll pick some up for you in the States.
Okay, well, I'm actually in the States from Saturday, so so that might help, I guess. I don't know.
Wonderful. Just let me know. Okay. Ryan, what stands out for you?
I think the one thing that I caught tonight when I was flipping through social media is that the Rey cover is the exact same artwork that was used for the celebration badges,
yes.
Which is a kind of really cool little nod. I've noticed really over the last week or two, everybody's becoming really attached to the Porgs too, as well. It seems like that's becoming the very, very hot thing. And I'm wondering how they're going to figure into it. Also, I thought it was cool to see the caretakers. Now we're finally seeing a little bit of them too, and seeing that Luke may not just be alone on that island. He may have some other people with him. So that's a cool little tidbit as well.
I found the design on them. Sometimes I think there are some Star Wars characters, and some of the designs sort of hit me as, oh, I don't know if I feel like I've ever seen something like that before. But those aliens look similar to some that we've seen in The Last Jedi, even though they're not the same species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've heard anything come up about them at all, but I also try to avoid spoilers for the most part, so it was a nice little plug today to see that. So.
Oh, yes. And you mentioned the Porg. I believe, according to Roku Depot, last week we set the record for the most mentions of the word Porg on a podcast. I don't know that I'm necessarily proud of that, but it happened, but it's because Steele Saunders was on, I think.
And that's Porgorific.
We'll go for round two this evening.
We'll start the countdown again. Let me hit the meter. When I saw that image of Chewbacca with that Porg, I don't know about you two, but I swore up and down that was a fake. I did not believe that it was a real image, but it actually is a real image from the film.
Yeah, I know a little bit more about the Porgs than I should, so I'm going to keep quiet.
Well, we appreciate that for sure. And Ryan, did you think it was fake? Because we've seen all these memes and these Photoshop things that they're doing with Porgs.
I didn't think we were actually going to see it on the ship, but it actually looks like, if you look at the reflection of his eyes, it almost looks like they're taking off into hyperspace, maybe. So maybe he's going along for the ride.
The only thing that I could say about this, and I'm basing this purely on my love of Shakespeare, Porgs obviously are cute and light and make you happy. And presupposition is that The Last Jedi is going to be so dark and so intense that they need to put things like that in there to lighten it up, to give the audience a breather once in a while. And I have nothing to back that up on. It's just the Shakespearean scholar in me that noticed that.
I would also point out that there's various information circulating that they are also a very, very good source of protein.
Yes, I believe there was, I believe our own Matt Moore was doing a poll on Twitter about how do you like your porgs. And I don't remember if fricasseed one or what it was, but I wonder, honestly, do you two think that, and I definitely remember, I mean, I was, I think, 10 or 11 when Return of the Jedi came out. I wonder if this is how people of an older generation felt when they first saw Ewoks.
It's possible, and I saw a little bit of conjecture today too, is hopefully everybody isn't falling down that trap as well too, because I know there are some people out there that do have a little bit of a bane against Ewoks, so to see that possibly happening again, I don't like, but I like having them in there. I think a little levity in the film will be great, and if a feather ends up somewhere and they're a good source of protein, so be it.
Yeah, look, I think having all these new creatures and aliens, that's what Star Wars is about. You know, we saw that in the first 15, 20 minutes of the opening of A New Hope, where we were introduced to so many different species and characters in the cantina. So personally, I expect to see, you know, a plethora of different characters in all these films. And I think it's good that we're seeing you know, the Porgs, which are obviously a very small creature compared to the Nuns, which are, you know, bigger still, or Warwick-esque like, maybe even. So yeah, bring them on. I think absolutely. I think it adds character, it adds color to the galaxy.
I think it adds depth, and I think the Porgs specifically add a bit of warmth and a little bit of, like I said, like you said, Ryan, levity, which is great. The another thing I want to point out before we move on to our next segment, when we saw the trailer for The Last Jedi, the very brief teaser trailer, that Luke clearly is someone who's conflicted. I mean, you could see the end of The Force Awakens and know that. But in the Entertainment Weekly article, there's a brief clip that's shared that says, perhaps the only thing more unsettling than meeting your enemies coming face-to-face with your hero. That's where the Star Wars saga left us at the end of The Force Awakens, with Daisy Ridley's Rey standing atop a craggy, windswept island, holding out Luke Skywalker's long-lost family lightsaber to the man she knew only as a legend. But in The Last Jedi, she actually has much further to go to find the warrior who inspired all these stories. This isn't the Luke she's heard about. It's not the one we know either. This is a broken man. One would have preferred to stay lost, and he feels the same way about the lightsaber. When I am teaching students about conflict, first we start with the man versus man versus nature, man versus self. And for me, I find the man versus self, and it's women versus self, either way, I find that to be the most fascinating, because I think we are our own worst critics and we can be our own worst enemies. So to see Luke being this retrospective, I think, is going to be amazing and really the heart and soul of this upcoming film.
Well, we know that Luke is devastated at the turn to the dark side of his nephew.
Yes.
So him going into retreat and him being extremely anxious as to what the future holds for Jedi is completely understandable. Yes. So he sort of ran away from the problem. And, you know, has put himself into exile because he doesn't know how to deal with it. And for me, it would be really, really interesting to hear the voices of Obi-Wan and Yoda trying to tell him that everything's fine, or, you know, he needs to confront his fears, something that we've seen him do before. Mm. And maybe that meeting with Rey is the start of him getting back on a path to achieve that.
And I find it so refreshing, and I think this is one of the reasons I like Kanan Jarrus and Star Wars Rebels, because I think while we all have our struggles and difficulties and challenges, we overcome them, but that doesn't mean they go away for the rest of our lives. They come back in different forms, mutated or morphed or just progressing into a different kind of a way. And the fact that Luke is dealing with this, or will deal with this, I think makes him much more of a real, even more well-rounded character, which I applaud. So up next, we will talk Star Wars video games with Nick Deco. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Let's do our Patreon right now. Patreon, as you know, is an invaluable way to help out the Coffee with Kenobi family to produce and present to you our website, our podcast, and so many more things we have in mind for the future. And I want to do a special thank you for Tyler Wiggins, Jason Hall, Dennis Keithley, Angela Sous, Aaron Harris, Mediocre Jedi, Connie Shee, Terry Lee, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Mark Leonard, Jim Capron, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, Swarasala, and Christo Hating. And Christo, please email me if I am not pronouncing your name correctly. That's a very, very important thing. Patreon members of Coffee with Kenobi have a number of perks and benefits that are at their disposal. And it could be something like the recognition you heard at the start of this show, which we just did. And you would also get a follow from Coffee with Kenobi if you donate $5 or more a month. $10 has the Google Hangout, where we will sit and have a virtual chat where we can talk Star Wars or anything that comes to mind. And it's always a very good time, very entertaining. $35 gets you the coffee mug, $50 gets you the mug or a t-shirt. And then once you get into the $50 range and up, you could, whether it be for 1 week, 2 weeks, or an entire month, co-host a show with me, which means that you and I will get to talk Star Wars for the entire show, and you will be chatting with whoever the other guests may be. And we've had a number of wonderful guests, and we'd love for you to be a part of that as well. If you are interested at all in being a Coffee with Kenobi Patreon member or want to find out more about it, please check the link in our show notes for more details or visit patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi. Nick Deco is back to talk Star Wars video games, of course. We look forward to this segment because you can kind of bring us the latest and what's going on. But this particular month, it's a bit challenging, isn't it?
Hey, Dan. Yeah, it definitely is. The summer months have been a little slow when it comes to anything fun around Battlefront 2 or any other of the games that are currently on the mobile devices. So, but there are definitely things to talk about, and happy to do so once again.
Wonderful. Is there anything that's obviously with the release of Inferno Squad, people are talking a lot more about Battlefront and they're getting more excited because we're starting to know these characters quite a bit. I finished the novel recently and it actually made me want to buy this game because, as we've said before, while I love the video games, I don't often find the time to play them. But this is making that much more of a real prospect for me.
Well, that's really great to hear. I'm actually only, I think, 5 chapters into Inferno Squadron myself. There are other things I read besides Star Wars books, apparently. And I tried to finish the other book before I started this, and I could not. So I was like, ah, forget it. I'll just start Inferno Squad. Because, yeah, you kind of get excited by just having, you know, this new canon material in front of you. And then I think that's the hope. I think that's kind of maybe, you know, this dovetail between Inferno Squad, the book, and Battlefront 2 coming out is really to get different types of people excited about playing in the giant sandbox of the Star Wars universe come Battlefront 2. Because as we've seen, it's an immense game. It's over 3 eras. It has lots of different heroes and villains so far. And I think the most interesting of note that I've seen recently come across about, I guess it's not so much rumor, but pretty much like news about the game, is that the development team is having trouble fitting it onto one disc. So your discs hold at least, if it's, you know, the new for the Xbox One or for PlayStation 4, hold at least 50 gigabytes worth of data. And so far, it seemed like, I think a developer tweeted it or something, that they're just having trouble finding a way to fit all the stuff they want to put onto the game on one disc. So now they're kind of coming up with, like, what do we do then? What do we leave out? What do we put in? Which is really a good sign, I would say, that they're doing their best to really include an immense amount of material in this upcoming game.
And I think collectively, we as a fandom said, wow, that makes this game even more exciting. And oh, thank goodness I'm not in charge of releasing this on time.
Exactly. Correct.
Ryan and James, are you guys gamers? Are you going to purchase Battlefront 2?
Absolutely. It's a day one purchase for me. I love the way that they're tying the story together, and obviously this needs a story, which the previous game didn't have. So for me, that's great news. And I think the one word that keeps coming up when we hear about Battlefront is hope. And obviously that was the last word of Rogue One. That's what we're hearing a lot about The Last Jedi. So I'm hoping, but that everything sort of ties in together, and it gives us a much better experience than we have with the original Battlefront a couple of years ago.
And I'll echo James's statement as well too. Yeah, it's definitely a day one purchase for me. I played the Battlefront that came out 2 years ago and enjoyed it, but really did miss that single player story and having that story driven campaign. The visuals look absolutely stunning. I cannot wait to get my hands on it and see how it goes. And yeah, I'm a couple chapters behind Nick in the book, but I cannot wait to see how they tie this in as well and see how it all syncs up.
Yeah, I've literally just started reading the book, so I'm hoping that during my flights over the next few weeks, I'll be able to catch up and glean what you've gleaned, Dan, be very excited.
Oh, very. The other day I had a cup of coffee, virtually, not actually a real cup of coffee, with Janina Gavankar, and she was quite excited about what's going to happen in this game, and her energy is just palpable anyway. So I really think they're going to have a major hit on their hands, because obviously there was some mixed reactions to the first one, and like we've all said, I think this having a story is going to add so much to it. Now, speaking of stories, since we knew there wasn't a ton of stuff going on with Star Wars video games, at least over the past few weeks, Nick and I were talking and reminiscing about the Super Star Wars series from the Super Nintendo. Did any of you play those great games?
Yes.
Yes, and it was one of my favorites.
Nick, you like to wax poetic about this, don't you?
I always do. Reach back some. No, but it's funny when you look at Star Wars games across, I feel like, generations now, or different eras of time in our own lives. I guess we kind of sometimes look back and kind of sugarcoat how terribly tough some of these games were. And I was thinking about it the other day, especially for the Super Nintendo. Of Star Wars games are just not rehashes of just classic pick 'em up side scroller shooters, but sometimes they were, and so they weren't the best games, but they were really fun, but really hard. But we still put ourselves through it because it was Star Wars. And yeah, I think for me, I was in middle school or early high school, I forget. But I think Empire Strikes Back for the SNES was my more preferred of the three. Even though I'm a Return of the Jedi fan, I definitely liked Empire a little better. I can't remember why now. It's been a while.
Well, Boba Fett on the landing platform in Cloud City. Am I correct? Was that?
I think you're right.
I think you're correct.
I remember that being really intense. Really challenging. It was good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really, really good game. It was one of the best ones. Still not quite as good as X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and things, but you know,
sure.
Story.
Amen.
Yeah, the story was amazing.
I never played X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. I didn't have the computer to play when it was a thing.
Right, you have a computer now, don't you? You have access to Steam.
I was stealing my roommate's computer in college.
I would say the minute you get off of this recording, it is it's required. Download. It's a few bucks, and I think you can even do it so that some of the money goes to charity. So yeah, get on to that.
Because if I don't, I could lose my podcasting license.
absolutely. I will talk to the powers that be if you do not. In fact, it's very much a do or do not. There is no try.
Oh, I like that.
Oh,
I like that.
Nice.
Well, am I correct that the Super Star Wars games, are these the first ones to have actual sound effects from the films? Does that sound right?
It sounds right.
Because I remember hearing the blasters and thinking, wow, I can hear this whenever I want now.
I'm trying to line up in my mind with the PC version of X-Wing, TIE Fighter, if that was around the same time. So it was, early 90s when the first NES game came out. Mm-hmm. And I do remember that PC. Now I'm getting confused with X-Wing and TIE Fighter in that early period of time, because they started coming out one right after the other. Mm-hmm. But for the console, I would say probably, yeah, definitely, sound effects from the movies would be the Super Nintendo version of these games.
I was going to say, the music, I'm pretty sure, was digitized music of it, of the Star Wars music. But, yeah, the sound effects sound right.
That definitely stands to reason. And, James, do you agree with this about the first one that had the real sound effects?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close. I'd like to just see the actual release schedule, but it's going to be very, very close. I'm sure X-Wing and TIE Fighter used original sounds. I remember back at university, it seems like a long time ago, and I had one of the first computers. I actually had it when I was writing my thesis, and I probably spent far too much time playing those games than doing my thesis. But
did you credit the game in your thesis?
I didn't. But okay.
It's like, it's funny to hear you say that, because these games, and we're talking games that are now almost 30 years old, that have had an impact. For that.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's math. I'm sorry. But like, even then, they have impacted ourselves in different ways. I mean, when you're doing thesis papers, or when you're going up through, going through formal periods of your life, you still can remember these impacts that this game, whether through the story or through the music or the sounds, from a galaxy or far, far away, had on us. And I think that's the unique power of a video game compared to the shared experience that we have when we read a book together, right? Because in our heads, people might sound different. You know, the scenes might look a little different than our imagination when we read Hand of Thrawn novels, or something like that. But with video games, they all have a unique place in our personal history through our formidable years of growing older. And I think that's why it still resonates today when we see, like we were just talking about, why Battlefront 1 was out with mixed reviews, but Battlefront 2, just the story and the passion that being put behind this to really kind of bring it home for everybody to share together. And there's no kind of, there's not mixed signals coming from different people. We're all going to go through the same experience, and it's going to have a lasting impact because of that.
Definitely. I think that, well said, Nick. Well said.
Was that wax poetic enough for you?
That was like mixed wax poetic. That was good. Well, Nick, thanks again for being on and having a cup of coffee with us. Where can listeners get in touch with you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Well, it's always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks for having me back again, Dan. And if anybody wants to find me, you can find me on Twitter at Nick Dico, NickDico.
Very good. Nick Dico, ladies and gentlemen. After the break, Tom will have news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com/StarWars for sample clips and to start listening now. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
And Tom is back to bring us the latest in Star Wars news. Tom, what do you have for us, buddy?
Well, this week, StarWars.com announced a new hyper-reality experience called Star Wars Secrets of the Empire, which will open at Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney Resort this holiday season. This combined effort of Lucasfilm, ILM Lab, and virtual reality entertainment franchise, The Void, will take fans to an immersive social and multi-sensory Star Wars experience where they can interact with friends, fans, and Star Wars characters. Co-founder and chief creative officer at The Void, Curtis Hickman, says they combine the magic of illusions, advanced technology, and virtual reality to create fully immersive social experiences, and that this transformative experience is more than what you see with your eyes. It's what you will hear, feel, touch, and even smell. Guests who step into Star Wars Secrets of Empire will know they are part of an amazing story. Vicky Dobbs-Beck of ILM Lab says, combining Lucasfilm storytelling, cutting-edge imagery, Skywalker sound, while invoking all of the senses, they hope this to send fans to a galaxy far, far away.
I can't help but applaud you for bringing up the five senses when you talk about smell, and then your very next comment was stepping into. So I thought of Banta Poodoo. Are we going to get to smell that finally?
Man, that would be one. Well, I don't know if that'd be wonderful, but it sure would be cool.
There's so much to talk about with this.
Maybe not so cool.
maybe warm.
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
I never thought about that. That's true. We want realism. Talk about immersion.
Exactly.
This is interesting because of all the senses. I mean, I've been to Disney Quest. We've all, I'm sure, experienced plenty of virtual reality in one way, shape, or form. But this sounds like on a whole other level. Almost like I could see this being almost overwhelming, and that could be good. It could be bad for some people. What do you guys think?
So this, I've been kind of comparing in my head the last couple of days since we made the announcement, and it's almost like doing like one of the escape rooms, but you're going to have a virtual reality headset on at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be able to walk around and touch stuff. You'll see the wall and be able to touch it. I know in the old school virtual reality, you can walk right through things you'd never know or walk into a street. But in this situation, the way they're planning it out and the way they're doing it is going to be really, really unique, I think, and something we've never experienced before.
It's like when that Pokemon game came out a few years ago and people were walking off cliffs and stuff. Let's hope that they
pretty much
have better barricades for this. What do you think, James?
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. I really enjoyed what ILM X Labs have showed us so far in terms of being able to immerse ourselves at Star Wars Celebration Europe last year. So I think the more the merrier. It's great that Disney are bringing this quite early on into the parks. And I'm looking forward to being immersed and being able to feel everything in all of those, with all of my five senses. It's going to be interesting to see how that compares to walking through Galaxy's Edge, because we know that when you're walking through Galaxy's Edge, you're going to meet characters and you're going to go on that journey, if you like. So I'm a bit conflicted as how that VR is going to exist alongside Galaxy's Edge.
I wonder if this is more like a sort of a wonderful stopgap, or if it will be still a part of the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is going to be very interesting, because obviously they're going to be able to do more with VR than they are necessarily with Galaxy's Edge, although from the visuals that we've seen of Galaxy's Edge, they're taking it to a whole new level, way above what they've previously done with Pandora and stuff. So yeah, look, bring it on. We've got a not a long wait, but it seems like years wait to, years and years and years wait to Galaxy's Edge. So if there's something that they can give us that fills the gap and takes us to or takes us along another journey, then so be it.
I'm just fascinated and a little overwhelmed with the thoughts of, it's all been visual and an audio, and just like hot and cold, soft, smooth, just all of that's just a dimension of Star Wars that I've never really thought of before. So, wow, it's definitely going to be different.
Yeah, I do think that there's a potential for it to feel potentially overwhelming for some people, and that's not to say that anything other than, obviously once we find out more about it, parents be aware when your kiddos are going to try it out, because who knows how that may affect them, because I'm sure it's going to feel more realistic than anything we've ever really experienced.
Yeah, I think so. And it can be very disorientating at first, and but, incredibly amazing. So, yeah.
I would say yes to that, too, because if any of you have had the chance yet at one of our competitor parks, SeaWorld, they've got the virtual reality Kraken now, where you put a virtual reality helmet to ride a roller coaster.
Oh, wow.
The first time I did it. Yeah, it was truly amazing, because I know how good that coaster is to begin with. But to add that level on top of it is, like you say, a little overwhelming at first, but just such a cool experience in the end.
Wow, I just aged 5 years imagining myself on that roller coaster with the virtual reality.
Well, we'll move on. And just a few weeks after Star Wars Rogue One released on Netflix in the United States, Disney announced this Tuesday that it's parting ways with the popular streaming service in 2019. Disney will launch its own streaming services. And according to CNN Money, Disney is paying $1.5 billion to take major ownership of BAM Tech, a streaming and marketing service. In the announcement, Disney said it will launch an ESPN-branded streaming service in 2018 and a separate Disney brand branded service in 2019. It will be the only place U.S. viewers will be able to watch new live-action and animated movies from Disney and Pixar, including Toy Story 4, the Frozen sequel, and the Lion King live-action movie. It will also feature content from the Disney Channel, Disney Junior, and Disney XD. Marvel TV series like Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and The Punisher will continue to stream from Netflix for now, but Star Wars fans will be interested to hear that The Clone Wars, the animated series, will move to the Disney app, and existing movies from Disney and Pixar will remain on Netflix until their current deals expire.
Wow. Well, you've just given me a lot more information than I initially had. I got to say, this is a stunner. This is huge news. This could have easily been the lead story, if not for what happened with Entertainment Weekly today. Because, for one thing, now we've got another streaming service, but I'm more than okay with this, because sometimes I love Netflix. We definitely are avid Netflix consumers. But the notion that it's all going to be right there, and Disney, for some reason, knowing that Disney, the brand, is behind something, just makes you feel more secure in the quality of entertainment and the consistency of what we're going to see. And I also did find it ironic, as you mentioned, when you mentioned this story, that Rogue One just came out, and I started thinking, oh, I wonder if A New Hope will be on here someday. But now, I don't think that's going to happen. It may happen with this. I thought I'd read somewhere that Iger had not specifically said what he's going to do with the Star Wars and Marvel properties.
Well, I'm a bit disappointed with the announcement, because it only stressed U.S. What about the people that don't live in the U.S.? What about the, the second biggest marketplace for Star Wars, which is the U.K.? Where are we in this?
I did not see any news on the international stance, but I know that Netflix has different licensing agreements, in different locations of the world. So no announcement specifically on an international side.
Yeah, I guess that will come. I think it was inevitable that Disney were going to do this, and I think, having their own platform to tie everything together from Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, and as their output keeps growing, it makes sense for them to have complete and ultimate control over it.
That could also very much open the door for much more original programming. Maybe the next huge Star Wars animated series, whatever that may be, maybe that will be exclusive to this streaming service.
Yeah.
I think the other good part is, too, is right now, if you're on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, all the different streaming services, you kind of have to bounce around to try to find some of the Disney stuff. It's not all in one spot. This may be the opportunity to go back and get some of those older movies, some of the, you know, some of Walt's original movies and stuff like that, and bring them all into one spot so people can share them that way, you know, because some of those aren't available anywhere and they're hard to find.
Mm-hmm. It also sort of seems to me that if I were running Netflix or I was a major stockholder, I would be concerned. This would be a major, major blow. You're talking about arguably the biggest, you know, studio in entertainment, and losing these quality things, you know, Pixar, Disney, Star Wars, Marvel, that is a huge blow to Netflix. Huge.
Because you've already started to see this a little bit with the we'll use the Star Trek option with CBS and Paramount for what they're doing with their new Star Trek property is it's only going to be available via their streaming service. So yeah. It's people are starting to split off and do that and just focus on their own content.
Although I predict within 5 or 6 years, it will converge again and you'll just end up with 2 or 3 services, because I think if we're all going to end up having to subscribe to, you know, additional premium services such as Disney's and, you know, others, if we want to watch other content, you'll end up having subscriptions to 5, 6, 7 different services. Mm-hmm. And I don't think all of us necessarily can afford that or want that. So I think there'll be an opportunity, you know, 5, 6 years down the line where Disney or others will actually buy some of the bigger providers that we know today. So I think it will actually, you know, go the other way, if that makes sense.
It does.
It'll be a rubber band. It'll snap back in.
Absolutely.
But as a sports fan, I love the idea of what they're talking about doing with ESPN. I think that, for me, is absolutely fantastic, too. So.
Wait, I've missed the ESPN portion.
Yeah, they said in the article or the couple stories that I read regarding this announcement, they were saying the ESPN service, they're looking at 10,000 live, potentially 10,000 live events a year accessible on this ESPN streaming service, which I can't – that just blows my mind.
I think one day that the Super Bowl will be on something like that. You know, instead of just on regular broadcast. I mean, that's certainly going to happen at some point.
Well, I think that very much depends on advertising, because getting a slot on the Super Bowl and the amount of people that tune in to watch that, there's no streaming service that currently has that sort of reach.
No, so, I don't think that would be the ultimate goal. And I'm talking 10, 15 years down the road.
Yeah, maybe.
But you're right. You're absolutely right. Just the staggering amount of people who would tune in and download and stream and, yeah, the advertising. I mean, are people going to jump on this work? We'll see.
I don't know. I'm still trying to – I'm thinking about, James, what you had said about it coming back and going back to, you know, a unified multi, I guess, movie house type of – like where we are today with Netflix. I just mm-hmm. – I saw Disney coming with this a long time ago, and I don't know – how long ago, I don't know, but it started with you know, I wanted to be able to watch Star Wars Rebels, but the only place I could get that was on Disney XD, which with my television provider, that's another $40 a month, and I just couldn't justify, you know, for one show, I was gonna pay $40 a month, and so I ended up buying it from Amazon, the season. But it was at that time I was like, you know what? I'm going to bet you Disney's going to come out with their own streaming service, because look at all of the entities that they now grasp that they could have the streaming service and have something for everybody at this point. So it's good news for that, but it's bad news based on a conversation we had when – Dan, I don't know if you recall when we did the show where we announced that Rogue One was going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the conversation there revolved around, think of all the people who have not experienced Star Wars, that now Rogue One is on Netflix, and it's a whole new audience. And I think by going to an isolated streaming service like this, like they're talking about doing, I think you're missing out on some opportunities of bringing some new folks into the fold. So that's the bad, you know, so there's a good and a bad here, but what's the grand scheme? And James, you might be absolutely right. In 5-10 years, we might be back to where we are today.
Just with different names and different owners.
That's true. That's true.
Yes.
There's certainly precedence for that. Well, very good, Tom. Thanks. Thank you for sharing these news stories with us.
Absolutely.
There's something he's missed, though.
Oh, what's that?
What's that? So there's been a rather elusive Star Wars figure that people have been trying to get their hands on over the last 6 months since Hasbro announced it. And I'm talking about Fenra. And at the moment on eBay, he's demanding rather ridiculous sums of money because there's only a few that have actually hit the mainstream market. But today, Entertainment Earth announced that they would be getting some. And by some, we don't know how many that is, but they're coming in December. They're coming on Rogue One cards, and they're available to pre-order now at $10.99, which is amazing considering how much they are going for on the secondary market at the moment. So if you want one of those action figures to complete your Rogue One collection, or if you're a if you collect 3.75 inch figures and you don't want to miss out on a carded figure, then head over to Entertainment Earth whilst you can and whilst they're still available to pre-order one for arrival just in time for Christmas or Hanukkah or anything else that you may celebrate around that time of year.
That's a pretty fantastic tip, I would say.
Mm. Excellent. Well, thanks for the scoop on that for sure.
Yeah, well, it literally came at about 5 or 6 hours ago, so...
Perfect. Well, I'm on the site right now. So, and it's still available, so which is fantastic. Well, good. Well, thank you.
As I say, I think that's the last Star Wars Rebels figure 3¾ they've announced, isn't it? I don't think.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for the moment.
Yeah, that's all we know. That's all we know of right now. So,
but mm-hmm. as Hasbro and others say, always in motion, the future is.
Exactly. Yes, they are definitely fond of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. It's true. And I love anticipation of what's going to come next. So very good. Well,
there are some cool things coming.
Ooh, an excellent tease. An excellent tease. Well, Force Friday 2 is just around the corner. So
yep,
we will look forward to that. Well, thanks again, Tom. We're going to go ahead and take our next break. And when we come back, we're going to play a bit of a new way to have a conversation in our next coffee chat. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Better than one of those coffee chains, it's Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. In today's coffee chat, I'm trying something a little bit different. The coffee chat is very much the section of the show where I want to just try different things. I want to make sure that things are fresh, and I really am excited about this because basically it's going to be a bit like a quiz show, and I did not tell Ryan or James about this at all, but I have faith that they can think on their feet. I'm going to give you guys a couple sentences, and well, just one sentence at a time, and I'm going to leave out a word, and I want you to fill in the word with your opinion. And it's not going to be, it's not trivia. It's just more sort of where you believe Star Wars is for you. Make sense?
Yep.
All right. Well, James, we'll start with you. The sentence is, not including the Force, the most essential thing about Star Wars is... Now read that again. Not including the Force, so the Force can't be your answer. The most essential thing about Star Wars is...
Well, I was going to say the Force really comes from George, so I'm going to say Ralph McQuarrie.
Interesting. Care to elaborate? Because,
well, yeah, because to me, there were three main elements that sort of came together for Star Wars in the 70s, and that was George with his ideas, Ralph McQuarrie with his visuals, and John Williams with the music. And with those three in place, you then got the special effects with ILM. Well, no, I'm going to say that the special effects with ILM was probably the fourth cornerstone, if you like, of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So Ralph, to me, and you know, even today, there was an update today of the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps, which features lots of Ralph artwork, which was lovely to see. So, without what Ralph did, you know, Star Wars wouldn't have happened at all, because that was sort of the deciding factor that made the studios go out on a limb and buy it. So, I don't think we'd necessarily be here today without George. Sorry, without Ralph. And then, you know, if you add in all of the other elements or the other cornerstones that I, you know, briefly mentioned, I think that all comes together to give us Star Wars. And I'm trying to think of what else there was. Yeah, it really was. It was George and the Force. It was Ralph and his vision of how it should look and how it should feel. John Williams with the music, and then ILM with the special effects. I think those are the four cornerstones. So Ralph, I think, would be my answer.
I love it. I love it. Ryan, what about you? Not including the Force, the most essential thing about Star Wars is...
Well, I think James took most of the good answers, but I'm going to go straight to his second is John Williams. The music for me ties it all together and brings everything, all those pieces, all those disparate pieces together to let it flow and just wash over you and bring in the Force and everything with it. It's what I always turn to whenever I need something, a little bit of something. I'll turn to the Star Wars music and John Williams music in and of itself just to ground myself and tie things back together. It just seems to just strike a certain chord, pardon the pun, with me as it goes. So
I love that you said it washes over you too, very much kind of the essence of what the Force is as well. Very good. For me, if I were to answer this, and I'm going to... To me, the most essential thing about Star Wars is story. And all of the things you mentioned, both of you mentioned, are beautiful and could easily be my number one answer as well. But I think this comes just from my literature background. I love the story. I love the storytelling aspects. I love the connectivity, particularly the themes and the ideas, and how Star Wars is the modern mythology, and it perfectly encapsulates what we value as a culture, as a society, as a people, right from wrong, loyalty, friendship, what betrayal looks like, and all of the things I think that make up the essence of a human nature and the human condition, I feel like can point back to Star Wars, which is one of the reasons why I keep going back to the well, because I find there are always things that can refresh my mind, body, and soul.
Hmm. I like that. I think there's one other thing that none of us have touched on, which is all of us, the community, the fans.
Yes. Agreed.
Because I think that makes this so special. And recently when I spoke to Steve and we talked about, unfortunately, the negative aspect of Star Wars, especially for him in recent months. Yes. But when you step back from that one maybe isolated issue, and you look at the millions, literally millions and millions of dollars or pounds that the collective Star Wars industry have, or community have pulled together to raise, and all of the amazing good things that we do as a community, more so than anyone else. You know, I don't think there's any other band of people that come together, maybe with the exception of Masons, that you know raise a lot of money for charity. I think it's honestly outstanding. And to know that I can go anywhere in the world and find like-minded people and be able to talk about the Force, be able to talk about those cornerstones that we just mentioned and feel like they're my brother or sister. You don't get that with anything else.
It's true. It brings people together very much in a way that it's like family, or it's like a strong religion. And I don't think Star Wars is a religion at all. In fact, I would find that really unappealing. What I like is that it brings people together. They talk about binding the galaxy together. It binds us because it's that common ground that we have. It opens the doorways to friendship. I mean, the two of you I consider friends. And James, absolutely. I've met you multiple times. Ryan, I've not had the good fortune of meeting you just yet, but I'm definitely will in the near future. And and what other thing does that? I mean, there are definitely a lot of fandoms, and one isn't better than the other. But for me as an individual, Star Wars, I mean, I had it in my wedding. It's all over the place. I'm sure we're all very much in the same boat.
Yeah, I would echo all that, because it almost comes back to celebration, how every time I go there, it feels like going home. Because you have your family, you have your friends. This community is a community of friends, and I mean, it is home. That's the best way I can describe it.
Which may be why Chewie for home resonated so profoundly with all of us.
Yes, make us cry and weep like a
like a pork when it gets set on by Chewbacca on accident in the Falcon.
Yeah. Very much so. Although maybe the pool doesn't have time to do that. But yeah, anyway.
Well, we're going to go ahead. You know, I had probably three or four more discussion points, but that was wonderful. I'm going to keep these maybe for a future segment. But thank you, gentlemen. We're going to go ahead and take our last break and return with your emails. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio, and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast, and remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Player FM, our Coffee with Kenobi website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. And the reason you hear podcasts asking for you to leave a review on iTunes is because the more reviews that a podcast has, the more likely they will show up towards the top of a search on iTunes if someone was looking for a Star Wars podcast. So it really does benefit Coffee with Kenobi in really, really awesome ways as far as reaching out to even more members of the CWK family. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and would love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. From Dan Riley, thank you for Coffee with Kenobi. I've been a fan for a few years now, and listening to the podcast has helped me through some difficult times. The calm, kindness, and welcoming enthusiasm you express on the show is a welcome oasis in an otherwise chaotic, abrasive media environment. Your embrace of your passion for Star Wars and your encouragement of the passion in others is inspiring. Lucas staked his career on trying to send a positive message amid a sea of negativity. You're doing the same, so thank you and keep it up. Well, thank you so much, Dan. I really, really appreciate that, and I'm really grateful for you being a member of the Coffee with Kenobi family for a few years now. And speaking of Dan Riley, look for an amazing guest blog post from him on our website very, very soon. A big thank you to James Burns and Ryan Kitt for having a cup of coffee with me. Guys, it's been such an absolute pleasure. Where can listeners get in touch with each of you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello? And Ryan, we'll start with you.
Easiest way to find me is I'm at Talionbot on Twitter, T-A-L-I-O-N-B-O-T. That's where I do most of my fandom interactions and everything like that. Also, you'll be able to find me. I'm going to be restarting Rogue Ramblings, my website, which is just rogue-ramblings.com, my blog. It's been a little busy here at Disney, so I'm hoping to get that back up and running here in the next week or two before Force Friday.
Outstanding. And James, what about you?
So on a personal level, you can find me on Twitter at Planet Burns. I'm also the same on Facebook. And in terms of Jedi News, on Facebook, it's Jedi News. And on Twitter and Instagram, it's Jedi News UK.
And definitely be sure, I think it's very, very reasonable to assume that if you're listening to this show, you definitely know about Radio 1138 and the Collector's Cast. Be sure to download those as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, thank you again very much, and thank you to each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.